Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up. But let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Promises to protect me.
Sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
After escaping through a window in the city wall, I came to Jerusalem. While praying in this very temple, I had a vision in which I saw the Lord. He said to me, "Paul, hurry and leave Jerusalem, because the people here will not believe your witness about me." Then I said to the Lord, "But Lord, the people here in Jerusalem know how I persecuted and arrested those who believe in thee. I even helped put Stephen to death." "Go," said the Lord, "for I will send you far away to the Gentiles."
You see? What did I tell you? This man loves and associates with the Gentiles. He profanes the temple. He blasphemes against God and brings disgrace upon the Israelite race. I say away with him.
Centurion, take the prisoner inside, on the double. The mob is determined to kill him. When you get him inside, whip him until you find out why the Israelites are so angry and determined he shall die. Then bring him to my quarters. I will question him.
Yes, sir.
You are all Roman officers, my aides. I want you to witness the interrogation with the Israelite prisoner. He is being whipped right now.
You need not treat me so roughly, Centurion. I shall peacefully let you bind and whip me.
All right. Stand over here. Bind him, soldier.
Yes, sir.
Do you wish to confess now who you really are? And why the Israelites are angry enough to kill you without even a trial?
I told who I am out there, and
But the chief captain wants the truth, not a pack of lies. I'll have to whip you if you're not going to talk.
Is it lawful for you to whip a Roman citizen who hasn't even been tried or even legally accused of a crime?
I'll have to go see the chief captain about this. The prisoner, the one I was about to whip, it says he's a Roman citizen.
Come, we will go see for ourselves. Tell me, are you truly a Roman citizen?
I am.
I am, too. I paid a large sum of money to become one, though.
Sir, I am a Roman citizen by birth.
You are?
Yes, sir.
Well, you realize that I have only your word for this. Also, you will recall when starting your defense to the people that you said you were an Israelite, born in Tarsus.
My mother was an Israelite, my father a Roman citizen.
I shall have to investigate and find the truth of the matter. Leave him in chains, but do not whip him. Tomorrow I shall call a council of the Sanhedrin and others to discover the truth.
Your Highness, the chief of the Roman captain sent me with a message.
Yes?
The captain discovered that the prisoner taken in the temple is a Roman citizen. The captain wants you to charge the prisoner formally with some specific crime. As a Roman citizen, he cannot be punished except first that he be tried and found guilty.
Tell the captain that his wish shall be granted. Members of this august body of Israelites, in a short time we must appear before a Roman officer to charge Paul with a specific crime, and it must needs be one that is punishable by death.
Your Highness, I doubt we need worry too much. The Roman laws permit us to execute Israelite citizens under conviction of our own laws. All we need is permission of some Roman officer.
I failed to tell you that Paul is a Roman citizen, and the Roman officer found it out. So the crime must be punishable with death by their laws.
Oh, can he be bribed?
If he weren't an army officer, I'd say yes. But army officers are very cautious about accepting bribes.
Well, what then shall we do?
Oh, we have one ray of hope. The chief captain is permitting us to charge Paul formally and to try him in our own court. If we find him guilty, even though it be according to our laws, I think the captain will give his permission to mete out justice as befits the penalties of our laws.
I think we can do that. Especially right now, when the Romans wish to keep on the good side of us Israelites, so we won't rebel against their occupation.
Sir, the Sanhedrin is sitting, awaiting you and the prisoner.
Fine. Get the prisoner and take him to the council room. We will be there shortly. First, do you wish to speak, prisoner?
Yes, thank you, sir. Learned men of the Sanhedrin, I stand here before the same council of which I was once a member.
I did then as earnestly seek the conviction of the believers in Jesus as you do now. All my life, even up to this very moment, I have lived in all good conscience before God.
Sacrilege and blasphemy! You who stand near him, smite him on the mouth.
God will smite you, whited sepulchre, where you sit to judge me in keeping with the law and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law.
You have insulted the high priest.
I did not know, brethren, that he is the high priest. For it is written, you shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people.
No man is perfect, we all know that. Yet this man just said that he is. May I remind you that he also claims to be an Israelite, at the same time a Roman? He claims to worship God, but is he found in the temple worshiping God? No. I say unto you, my fellow Israelites, this fellow is not worthy to live. No, he must be killed.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to add these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Well, I'm just making sure I get enough vitamin D.
Vitamin D? We're at a swimming pool, not a drugstore.
I know that. But do you see that big thing up there in the sky?
You mean the hawk?
No, the big bright thing there above the trees.
Nothing up there but the sun.
Exactly.
So what's the sun got to do with vitamin D?
Everything. When the sunshine hits my skin, my body takes those beautiful rays and turns them into vitamin D.
And that's a good thing?
Absolutely. Vitamin D helps my body fight disease and reduces the pain of sore muscles and stiff joints.
You sound like a TV advertisement.
Well, somebody needs to advertise a good thing about sunlight. Most people are afraid of it. They smear sunblock all over their bodies, stay indoors, and treat sunshine like it was poison.
Hey, I don't want to burn.
Scientists say we need to all enjoy up to 30 minutes of direct sunlight each and every day. That will safely provide us with all the vitamin D we need to give our skin a nice, healthy glow.
But what about in the winter when this pool's an ice skating rink?
Then you go to the drugstore and buy some vitamin D pills. But the best way to stay healthy is to sit in the summer sun.
Well, then count me in. I'm going to plop down right here beside you and work on my healthy glow. Are you happy now?
Well, not really.
Why?
You're blocking my sun.
Oh, sorry.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, He established a health plan for every creature on earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Jesus loves me. try to show our friends the ways we see that God is good. And even when we're not the kids that we're supposed to be, we ask God for forgiveness. We want the world to see.
We are kids of the kingdom.
Peaceful way we live, tell of the eternal life our precious Lord can give.
We are kids of the kingdom.
We are kids of the kingdom.
And we love the Lord.
And we love the Lord.
We are kids of the kingdom.
We are kids of the kingdom.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 9, Rescue. It's a funny thing about darkness, Dee Dee thought. When it's really dark, your eyes slowly get better and better at seeing with very little light. Right now, I am very glad that the moon is shining in through the attic window like a pale yellow flashlight beam. Dee Dee stood still for a long time after she broke her flashlight. First, it was because she was too scared to move. The darkness made the little noises around her more frightening. Every creak, squeak, or scratch made her wonder what or who had made it. After a few minutes, her heart stopped racing, and she was able to think more clearly. As her eyes adjusted to the darkness, she saw something that made her want to kick herself. In the very center of the room was a ladder. The ladder was folded up into three sections. She had missed it before. As Dee Dee looked at it, she realized that the ladder was attached to a trap door. All I have to do, she decided, is push the trap door down and the ladder will unfold. Dee Dee was tired of the attic. I need to rescue Jenny in the basement, she announced out loud. She walked over to the folded ladder and trap door and pushed down on it. Nothing happened. She looked at the trap door in the pale moonlight. Why won't it go down? She couldn't see any reason why it wouldn't. Maybe it just takes more weight to push it open, she thought out loud. She carefully stepped on the edge of the trap door. It still refused to move. She put both feet on it. Nothing. She hopped up and down. Why won't this trap door open? She looked around the attic. If I could find something else to stack up here, that might make it heavy enough to push open. She snapped her fingers. Captain Morgan's chest. If I drag it over here and set it on the trap door, maybe it will add enough weight to open the trap door. She crept through the dark and grabbed the heavy chest by a leather strap that still hung from one side. She pulled. The chest moved a little toward her. She pulled again. It slid a little farther. She grabbed the leather handle with both hands and pulled. The strap came off in her hands and she fell backward. This trunk is not going to get the better of me, she said out loud. She stepped behind the chest and gave it a shove toward the trap door. Captain Morgan was a tough person, and so am I. I am getting out of here. 10 sweating minutes later, Dee Dee lifted the edge of the chest onto the trap door. She gave it a push until the heavy trunk sat on top of the folded ladder. She paused. It's not opening, Dee Dee muttered. What is wrong with this door? Then Dee Dee noticed the metal latch that held the trap door shut. "What's wrong with me?" she asked out loud. Then she reached down and slid the brass latch to one side. Boom! The trap door swung down, the ladder folded out, and Captain Morgan's trunk fell 8 feet to the floor below. The noise was as loud as a thunderstorm. "Yes," Dee Dee said, "I opened it." "What in the world is going on here?" a voice asked from the floor below her. Dee Dee looked down to see her mother wrapped in her robe staring up at her. Now that she wasn't scared anymore, Jenny was getting bored. For all I know, Dee Dee went back to bed and everyone else is still asleep. Then she heard a noise behind her. Keys jingled outside the double doors at the top of the stairs. Then one key was inserted into the padlock and it clicked open. A blast of cold air came in as the double doors pulled back. "Dee Dee! Mrs. Adams! Am I glad to see you!" Jenny ran up the stairs toward her two rescuers. "What happened to you?" Mrs. Adams said. "Just look at you, Dee Dee. Is this some sort of joke or something?" Jenny stopped where she was, halfway up the stairs. It hadn't occurred to her to think about how she looked. She looked at her hands and then at the rest of her body. Black. Everything on her was black. As she looked down at her feet, a fine shower of coal dust fell from her hair to the floor. Dee Dee started to laugh. "If I didn't know who you were, I wouldn't know who you were," she said. Jenny laughed, too. "Are you all right?" Mrs. Adams finally asked. She stepped down and pulled a tissue out of her robe pocket. She brushed Jenny's face with it. Jenny immediately realized that her face was covered with black coal dust. "Ugh," she said, as Mrs. Adams kept wiping her face. "Did you find anything up there?" she asked Dee Dee. Dee Dee grinned in response, reached into her pocket, and pulled out something. She handed Jenny's new watch to her. "Now I know why you don't like rats," Dee Dee said. Jenny's mouth fell open. "A rat had my watch?" "It must have been a pack rat," Mrs. Adams said. "They collect things, especially shiny things." "Could that rat have stolen the family treasure? The Bible, I mean?" Dee Dee asked. "No, the Bible would have been too heavy and too large," Mrs. Adams said. "It possibly could have taken a page or two at a time, or chewed it to pieces." "We weren't away long enough for it to have chewed the Bible up, or stolen it a page at a time," Dee Dee said. "I think I know where the Bible is," Jenny said, "but first I want to introduce you two to someone." She took the tissue and wiped her hands with it as she walked down the stairs. Dee Dee and Mrs. Adams followed her across the concrete floor to the corner where the boards had been torn away. "Dee Dee, Mrs. Adams, meet Henry." Jenny held the boards back so Dee Dee and her mom could see the black antique car that stood behind the board curtain. "It's a Model T Ford," Mrs. Adams said in surprise. "Girls, this was one of the first automobiles made in this country." She looked back at the old car. "This thing is ancient." Mrs. Adams looked at Jenny. "But how did you know this car was called Henry?" Jenny pointed to dust that had collected on the hood of the car. The word Henry had been traced in the dust by someone's finger. "I think someone, probably Grandma, wrote his name on him a long time ago," Dee Dee said. "So this is Henry," Mrs. Adams said. "I wish we could talk to Grandma about him," Dee Dee said. "Well, why don't you?" Mrs. Adams said. "What?" Dee Dee and Jenny asked. "Is she all right?" "She's feeling fine, and she's awake upstairs," Mrs. Adams said. "She's asked to talk to you."
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 7, The Clue in the Secret Passage, written by Glenn Robinson, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio. at lifetalk.net.